I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Well, when I'm down,
when I'm down,
when I'm down,
when
and,
I'm
out,
down
and out,
when
out of my heart,
when my heart is filled with
fear and doubt,
well, I lift up my head, then he lifts up my heart, and my troubles just all roll away.
Lift up my head, then he lifts up my heart, and my troubles just all roll away, roll away.
Now I can see the sun with my head to the ground.
Tears in my vision and weigh my heart down.
But I found the secret when I
went out to pray.
When I lift up my head, then he lifts up my heart, and my troubles just all roll away.
Lift up my head, he lifts up my heart, and my troubles just all roll away, roll away,
roll away,
roll away,
troubles all away,
roll away,
roll away,
roll away,
troubles all away,
roll away.
When I lift up my head, he lifts up my heart, and my troubles just all roll away, roll away,
my troubles just all roll away.
Thank you, men, for opening today's program with that upbeat, uplifting song. And thank you, too, my friend, for tuning in to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm glad you've joined me. Do you ever feel down or discouraged? Sure, we all do. Sometimes, as we look at the circumstances of life, we feel like it's just too hard. We feel like we don't want to go on. Maybe we even feel like we can't go on. What does it take to help you lay aside those feelings and rise above your circumstances? One thing that helps me is to think about all the people who have invested in my life, people who love me and care about me, people who in the past have spoken words of encouragement to me. That's a tremendous boost to my spirit. So let's be encouraged by this song as the choir sings.
Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy wend your way. Though hard to you the journey may appear, grace shall be as your day. We have a living Lord to guide, and we can trust him to provide. Do this and joy, your hearts will swell. All is well, all is well. The world of care is with us every day. Let it not this obscure. Here we can serve the Master on the way, and in Him
God for us pray.
stay tuned for my teaching from the book of Colossians. Back in the 15th century, in a tiny village near Nuremberg, Germany, there was a family that had 18 children. And in order to provide for his family, the father was a goldsmith, and he worked many, many hours every day at his trade, and then he worked at other chores that he could find that would pay a little bit more. Despite their seemingly hopeless economic condition, two of those 18 children had a dream. Both of them wanted to pursue their talent for art, but they realized that their father could never afford to send either of them to Nuremberg to study at the academy that was there. But the boys were ingenious, and they finally worked out a plan. They decided they would toss a coin. The loser would go into the nearby mines, and with the earnings that he made there, he would support his brother who attended the academy. Then when the first brother completed his studies, he would support the other brother in his studies. Albrecht won that coin toss, and so he went off to Nuremberg while his brother Albert went into the mines. And so for the next 4 years, Albert financed his brother, whose work was an almost immediate sensation. When Albrecht graduated from the academy, he was already earning large fees on his commissioned works. When Albrecht returned to the village, his family held a festive dinner in his honor. And after the meal, Albrecht stood up and he said, "And now, Albert, blessed brother of mine, it is your turn. Now you can go to Nuremberg to pursue your dream, and I will take care of you." Albert rose, and he said softly, "No, I cannot go to Nuremberg. Look what 4 years in the mines have done to my hands. The bones in every finger have been smashed at least once, and lately I have been suffering so badly from arthritis in my right hand that I cannot make delicate lines with either a pen or a brush. No, brother, for me, it is too late." You know, more than 500 years have passed since that time, and Albrecht Dürer has hundreds of masterful portraits that are hanging in every great museum in the world. But you, if you're like most people, may be familiar with only one of them. You see, to pay homage to Albert for all that he had sacrificed, Albrecht Dürer drew his brother's hands with the palms together and the fingers stretched skyward. He called this powerful drawing simply Hands, but the world later renamed it as his tribute of love, the Praying Hands. What an amazing tribute to true brotherhood, a love that is willing to do whatever is required to see another person succeed. You know, how much more should we be willing to sacrifice for eternal rewards? With this message, we've arrived at the end of our study in the book of Colossians. A casual reading of these final verses of chapter 4 might seem to us just like some random messages of thanks to some of Paul's associates. But you know, if we reach that conclusion, we're overlooking some very important truth. And so I invite you to join me as we take a closer look at Colossians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 18. We will explore the central message of this text under the title, A Band of Brothers. So I invite you to listen now as I read that text, Colossians 4, 7 to 18. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nympha, and the church that is in her house. Now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. I believe this text illustrates how embracing the preeminence of Christ results in the characteristics that define a band of brothers. And by the way, that includes the sisters too. As I noted multiple times throughout this series, the preeminence of Christ or the superiority of Christ is the central theme of this epistle. And the final verses of this letter are an example of how the embrace of this truth impacts our relationships with our fellow believers. The first characteristic that defines a band of brothers is mutual love. Paul begins this section by introducing us to Tychicus. His name means fortunate, and his gift appears to be exhortation or encouragement. Paul refers to him as a beloved brother. Tychicus is first mentioned in Acts chapter 20. He's part of a group traveling with Paul through Asia Minor. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21, he's acknowledged as the bearer of Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. And then finally, we see him again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, still serving the aged apostle in the final days before Paul is executed. Paul told the Colossian believers that Tychicus would bring them up to date on what was happening in his life. Paul knew that Tychicus' love for the Lord and for the church would motivate him to complete the assignment that Paul gave him. Love motivates brothers and sisters to endure hardship for each other. Onesimus was a runaway slave. He was now a Christ follower, and he was accompanying Tychicus in the delivery of this Colossian letter. And he too is referred to by Paul as a beloved brother. We learn from the letter to Philemon that Paul wrote that his love for Onesimus was so great, he was willing to pay whatever debts the former slave owed to his master Philemon. And then Paul appealed to Philemon based on his love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Aristarchus is another name that appears in our text. He was a native of Thessalonica. And we see him and his life endangered along with Paul and others in the riot at Ephesus, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 19. Paul addresses Aristarchus as a fellow prisoner. Now, whether he volunteered to be literally imprisoned with Paul, or if the imprisonment was figurative, either way, his love motivated him to serve the Apostle Paul. And then John Mark is next in this band of brothers. He was the cousin of Barnabas. And if you recall, he fell out of favor with Paul in Acts chapter 13. And then later, in Acts 15, he became a source of division between Paul and Barnabas, and that division resulted in two missionary teams being formed instead of just one. But now, Paul commends him, that is John Mark, to the Colossians and commands them to receive him with hospitality. Paul's love for John Mark is further highlighted in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, where he wrote these words, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." The Apostle Paul's love for Jesus caused him to acknowledge that his initial perceptions of John Mark were wrong. You see, genuine love gives people room for growth in every area of life. And then we meet Epaphras. His name means lovely. According to chapter 1, verse 7, he was most likely the founder of the Colossian church. His acceptance of the preeminence of Christ motivated his great love and his zeal for the churches in the Lycus Valley of Asia Minor. Those churches were Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. We'll say more about his sacrificial service later on. Next, Paul refers to Luke as my beloved physician. At the end of Paul's life, we learn from 2 Timothy 4:11 that Luke was the only person who remained with Paul throughout his entire imprisonment. What an example of mutual love between brothers. Now, if someone were writing a letter to your church or about your church, would you be named as one of those whose love is exemplary? Would you be referred to as a beloved brother or a beloved sister? Why or why not? You know, 1 John chapter 4 and other scriptures make our love for our brothers and sisters the litmus test of our love for Jesus. Mutual love is a vital characteristic of a band of brothers and sisters. The second characteristic I see then in this text that defines a band of brothers is sacrificial service. Another characteristic these brothers and sisters shared was their faithfulness in serving the Lord by serving each other. And several of them were cited for being especially zealous in their work. Paul commended Epaphras by saying he was always laboring fervently for you in prayers. The word that Paul uses for laboring fervently is agonizomai. We get our English word agonize from this. In Paul's day, it was a word that was used to describe the toil and the strain of the contestants in athletic competitions. And as you might recall, those competitions were sometimes a matter of life and death. In addition, Epaphras had great zeal, great ardor, great concern for the churches under his care. Each of the three churches that he had planted in the Lycus Valley were in danger of being infected with the Gnostic heresy. And so Epaphras agonized in prayer for the people in these congregations. I can imagine that he prayed fervently for their spiritual maturity so that they wouldn't be led astray. And by the way, anyone who thinks that prayer isn't hard work probably hasn't done too much praying. Tychicus also demonstrated sacrificial service. Remember, he's the one who is carrying the letter from Paul in Rome to the Colossians. We tend to forget the difficulty of travel in the ancient world. The distance between Rome and Colossae, as close as I could figure it, was more than 1,500 kilometers or nearly 1,000 miles, and it involved travel over both land and sea. You know, today we can get in our vehicles and we can drive that distance in 2 days or less. I have no idea how long it took for Tychicus to make that journey back then, but this I know, it wasn't in climate-controlled comfort with XM radio, plenty of snacks, and a rest area every so many miles along the way. And then there's Nympha. Evidently, the church in Laodicea met in the private home of Nympha. It wasn't unusual for a wealthy woman to open her home as a place for the church to meet. You might recall the example of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. And so again, if someone were writing to your church, would your name be mentioned in the context of sacrificial service? Are you willing to agonize in prayer for a brother or sister, or for the lost in your community? Are you willing, like Nympha, to use the resources God has given to you to bless other people? Sacrificial service is another vital characteristic for a band of brothers and sisters. And then the final characteristic that we see that defines a band of brothers is personal encouragement. Let me ask you, how valuable is personal encouragement to you? The words of Proverbs 12:26 come to my mind. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word or an encouraging word makes it glad. As a church planter and as a pastor shepherd, Paul understood the value of encouragement. When you read his letters, you see that they're filled with encouraging words and feelings. Even when he had to administer discipline, he always had words of encouragement and appreciation to accompany it. In our text, each person mentioned had some role in encouraging either Paul or the people he was writing to. Tychicus and Onesimus were sent to the Colossian believers to encourage them with their report from Paul. Paul said, they're going to tell you how I'm doing. Aristarchus and John Mark and Justus were Jewish believers Jewish believers, catch that, who were assisting in sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. And that fact was very encouraging to Paul and to the Gentile believers in Colossae. The diligence of Epaphras in the word and in prayer was a great encouragement to many people as well. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, or Demetrius, encouraged Paul very much by their commitment and by their attentive service to him. Can you imagine how many people were encouraged by Nympha allowing the church to meet in her home? And finally, the Apostle Paul signs this letter with his own hand. Try to imagine the chains on Paul's hands clanking as he picks up the pen and adds his signature to this encouraging letter. And in return for the encouragement offered by him and the others mentioned in this letter, he asks his readers for a favor. He says, "Don't forget me in my chains." You see, the great apostle needed encouragement too. My friend, do these characteristics define your life? Are you a committed part of a local fellowship of believers where you can develop and practice mutual love and sacrificial service and personal encouragement? If you're not, why not? No local churches that I know are perfect because they're comprised of imperfect people. There's always room for growth and development. But how will that improvement and development take place if you and I stand aloof and we refuse to commit and engage? You know, I believe that if you and I truly embrace the theme of the Colossian letter, the preeminence of Christ, how can we refuse to take our place among those he's chosen to be his bride? So I encourage you today, take the role Jesus has for you among the band of brothers and sisters that make up his church. Because if you don't, most likely no one else will.
We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. God is with us. We are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. God is with us. We
My friend, were you blessed by today's teaching? If so, we invite you to respond. Perhaps you have a question or a testimony or a comment about something you heard. We welcome your feedback. The easiest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your comment to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. To review today's program or to listen to previous programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen at your convenience. While you're at the website, you can sign up for our email alerts, for our newsletter, or for notifications about new blog postings. There are also links there to help you learn more about the ministry. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, you may contact us by email at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. You can leave a comment on today's teaching, A Band of Brothers, or you can request a copy of the complete teaching either in print or on an audio CD. We also invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We depend on God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, to enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Your donation will make an eternal difference in someone's life today. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for The Voice of Hope. And until we meet again, remember to follow the words of this song.
Give to our God immortal praise. Mercy and truth are on His ways. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat His mercies in your song. He built the earth, He spread the sky, and fixed the starry lights on high. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat His mercies in your song. He fills the sun with morning light. He bids the moon direct the night. His mercies ever shine.